The Sefer HaChinuch continues. The last point that Sefer HaChinuch made was the bit about Erev Pesach Shechal Yos B'Shabbos. What happens if the day before Pesach, the Seder is Saturday night, and normally you have to get rid of your chametz the previous day, but that would be Friday morning. You're not really supposed to do that. So you have to get rid of everything before Shabbos. So we discussed that at length last time, what to do about Shalosh Shudos on Erev Pesach Shechal Yos B'Shabbos. How it's seemingly that there really is no Shalosh Shudos in Erev Pesach Shechal Yos B'Shabbos, and yet, since people present various chumras about Shalosh Shudos, that A, maybe you could fulfill the obligation not during its proper time period, which is during the afternoon, but maybe during the morning as well, and some people suggest that you don't have to have bread for Shalosh Shudos. So two suggestions are given, two main suggestions are given, to fulfill the mitzvah of Shalosh Shudos on Erev Pesach Shechal Yos B'Shabbos. One is to do two meals in the morning with bread before the time of forbidden, the onset of the forbiddenness of chametz sets in. Another suggestion is to have other types of foods, not bread, in the afternoon. Some people do one, some people do both, and some people do neither. So, when in a few years, when we have another Erev Pesach Shechal Yos B'Shabbos, we'll discuss more practically. So it continues. Ve'habitul ba'peh shetzarech la'asos nosaf al habir. And the nullification of your mouth, spoken orally, that must be done in addition to getting rid of the chametz. Last time we noted that midaraisa, on a biblical level, it's sufficient to do only bittul, to say orally that any chametz that's in my possession should become nullified. As long as you really think that and you really consider it as the dust of the earth, somebody took it, you wouldn't care. If it got destroyed, you wouldn't care. That certainly works. But if you don't really think that, then you have a problem and you really have to get rid of it. So the chachamim required you basically to do both. So the bittul, the nullification of chametz that's done in the morning before the time that the chametz becomes usur, obviously it has to be in a time where you still have some sort of dominion over the chametz, which is before the time that it becomes usur, before the fifth hour of the day, so before an hour before midday. You know, for it's already been an hour that you're not allowed to eat it. But you are allowed to derive benefit from it, so it's still considered in your possession. You can still perform the bittul, the oral nullification, up until that time. The bittul has to be said in a language that you understand. The bittul, as it's printed in the Haggadah, is in Aramaic, because that was the spoken language of Babylonia, where that was the center of Torah study at the time when our current version of the Haggadah was formulated. But you see, nowadays in Haggadahs, they have printed sometimes. If it's a good Haggadah, they'll have it translated into Hebrew, because nowadays a lot more Jews understand Hebrew than understand Aramaic, which was not the case 1,500 years ago, necessarily. And also, and obviously, an English Haggadah will have an English translation, and if it's good, it'll note that if you don't understand the Hebrew or the Aramaic, then you should say the bittul in English. Sometimes people will say, oh, it doesn't feel like I'm doing a Jewish ritual thing if I'm saying it in English. But the truth is that that's more correct to do the bittul in English. The Mishnah Berurah translates also the whole language of the bittul into Yiddish, because that was a language that people needed to know in those times for the Mishnah Berurah's audience. So if you understand the Aramaic, so fine, there's certainly no problem with saying it in Aramaic. But if you have any difficulty whatsoever, if you don't understand the exact translation of all the Aramaic, certainly much better to say it in English. The English translation would be something along the lines of as follows. Any leaven or sourdough which is in my possession should become nullified as the dust of the earth. There's also a disagreement about whether you should insert there the idea of hefker, of ownerless things, that some say you should say it should become ownerless as the dust of the earth. Others say you specifically shouldn't say that because the lashon of hefker is not found in the earlier sources. Some people say both. Some people say once with. Anyway, you can't. Probably any language that signifies that you don't have any interest in your chametz anymore is sufficient. The yeser prateha, and the rest of the details of the mitzvah of getting rid of your chametz, mevorim bePesach Rishon, in the first half of Maseches Pesachim, which talks about regular Pesach issues, as opposed to the Korban and the Ben Pesach Sheni, which is in the second half of the tractate. Benoheges b'chol makom v'chol zman b'zcharim v'nikevos. It's in all places and all times, in zcharim with men and women. And one might say especially with women, because they're the ones who tend to go the craziest with getting rid of all their chametz in their house and spring cleaning for Pesach and oivei a minute amount. But as a stereotype, at least, that's the that's what people are normally what people normally do. But in any case, since even though it's a time-bound positive commandment, women and men are equal for all purposes of celebration of Passover. So this too, getting rid of the chametz from the house, is okay. V'hover aleha v'lo hishbiso. If you violated this commandment and you did not destroy your leaven, bitel asei detashbisu, but the tashbisu. Of course, you violated the positive commandment of destroying the chametz. V'im yesh chametz v'mishkenosav over gamkein alosase. And if you maintain chametz in your possession, you also violate a negative commandment, as it's going to discuss later in the Sefer Chinuch. Shenemar seor lo yimatzei bevateichem. No sourdough should be found in your house. Aval ein lokin alav zeh im lo asa bo maisa. But even though that's a negative commandment, you do not receive the penalty of lashes. You get off on a technicality, so to speak. Shehalocha hi lav she'ein bo maisa ein lokin alav. The halacha is that if there's a negative commandment that you could violate just by lying low and not doing anything, then you don't receive the penalty of lashes. It's only if you go ahead and perform something that's forbidden that you receive the penalty of lashes. So, for example, if you go out during Pesach and you purchase a loaf of bread, then you do receive the penalty of lashes because you went and violated this negative commandment actively. But if you just don't perform the getting rid of all the chametz and you have a loaf of bread sitting in the corner of your house that or in your freezer, then you do not receive lashes because you didn't do any action that actively negated the negative commandment. Okay. Progressing to the next mitzvah. And you're going to need to flip around a little bit. Mitzvahs achilas matzah. The mitzvah of eating unleavened bread. So what is the nature of eating unleavened bread? Lechol lechem matzah. To eat unleavened bread. Beleil chamisha asar b'nisan. On the night of the 15th of Nisan. In other words, the first night of Chag HaMatzos, which is the evening after the Korban Pesach is slaughtered. And it's specifically at the nighttime. In other words, before nighttime, there's a period of what's called Bein Hashmashos, which is twilight. And it's between sunset and when three medium-sized stars appear in the sky. And when three medium-sized stars appear in the sky, for all Torah purposes, that is considered certainly nighttime, certainly the start of the day in Jewish law. Although, it should be noted that for the purposes of eating matzah, and again, d'oraisas in general for Kriya Shema also, we have a chumrah, because we're worried that we're not sure anymore what medium-sized stars are. So we wait for three small-sized stars, which is a few minutes later than three medium-sized stars. And for Motzei Shabbos, because of the mitzvah of Tosefes Shabbos, for adding on to for Shabbos, we wait until there are three small-sized stars within close proximity to each other, not spread out over the sky. That's why they're three different times, really. So that's why I don't understand why certain, many... shul calendars or whatever, use the time that we use for Motzi Shabbos for all things that require nighttime. Like, for example, they only daven Ma'ariv on a weekday then, or they only allow women to go to the mikveh after that time. These are not times that time is really a chumrah, the time that we use for Motzi Shabbos. Strictly speaking, the time of Tzeis HaKochavim, the beginning of halachic nighttime, is a little bit earlier, but again, it's only a few minutes, so it shouldn't really make too much of a difference. Certainly on Pesach, when we're at the Seder and we go all night long, not all night long, but we go well into the night, by the time you get to the meal, everybody wishes this would be earlier, but practically speaking, by the time you get to the meal and are eating your matzah, it's certainly going to be well after the time that's halachically considered night. Although there is a separate halacha that really you're not even allowed to start the Seder until halachic nighttime, because the four cups and all these things and saying over the story of the Exodus from Egypt, according to the way we paskin, there are some who hold otherwise, but according to the way everybody is accustomed and the way everybody practices, these and the way many Rishonim hold, that all these things have to be done after halachic nighttime. So that's why you have to wait to start your Seder until three small-sized stars appear, but again, it's by the time people get home from shul and start the Seder, it's almost certainly after that time. Ha'osui says the Sefer HaChinuch that the matzah has to be made mimin dagan, from a type of grain. In Jewish law, there are five halachic types of grain. We call them chita, v'asora, v'shifon, v'shibol, v'shual, v'kusmin. Now, the identity of these five species of grain is somewhat of an issue. Traditionally, they're translated as wheat, rye, barley, oats, and spelt. But there is some difficulty with this because it doesn't always fit into the descriptions given Chazal for these grains. And also, some botanists have tried to prove that oats were not really grown as a crop for humans in those times. So that's why some people feel, also with the identifying characteristic of a grain which could become chametz and consequently we use to bake matzah, because matzah can only be made, the reason that it's only one of these five grains is because only these five grains, according to halacha, can become chametz. So therefore, these are the only grains that are acceptable as matzah, because matzah has to be something that's actively not leavened. It can't be something like if you make it out of bean flour or something like that, then it's never, according to our minag, which we'll get into a little bit later, you're still not allowed to eat it on Pesach. But according to the basic halacha, cannot become chametz. So matzah can only be made out of something that you have to get all nervous that it's going to become chametz if you leave it out for too long, and you can't, and then it will become chametz.
What about rice flour?
We'll get into rice in a minute. Rice, according to one of the tanoim, actually is one of the minei dagan. But according to all the other rabbis, and that's the way Paskin, it's not one of the species. So the issue is that the tzad hashaveh, the characteristic that unites all these five species of grain is the presence of gluten, which is a protein which allows for real rising. So the question is, oats have very little gluten, and can even be bred with some ease not to contain any gluten at all. That's why some people who have sensitivity to gluten or celiac can get products made with oats that are gluten-free, and they're claimed to still have the bracha of hamotzi because they consider it still a bread product, and they're considered to be acceptable to fulfill the mitzvah of matzah if you have oat matzahs, gluten-free oat matzahs, because traditionally oats are associated as one of the species of grain. So, again, traditionally that is true. That identification goes all the way back to Rashi. But at the very least, it's a machlokas rishonim. Even if you don't accept botanist findings that oats were almost certainly not one of the five species of grain, Still, the Rambam quotes, for example, he has his own list of what the five minyadagon are, so oats are certainly not on that list. So certainly those who have any capability of eating regular wheat or spelt matzahs, which are certainly one of the five species of grain, spelt has a little bit less gluten apparently than wheat, so some people have sensitivity to gluten, can tolerate small amounts of spelt. So certainly it would be more preferable to eat a small amount of spelt matzah, more than a kezias, as we'll get into later, rather than eat a larger shear of oat matzah. Again, if you're really going to get sick if you eat gluten, so then you don't have to eat matzah at all. I mean, I guess oat matzah is better than nothing, but it's preferable for those who can to eat wheat or spelt matzah. So it says, Shenemar ba'erev tochlu matzos. In the night, in the evening, you shall eat unleavened breads. Uperusho, the explanation is, Leil chamisha asar benisan, bein bizman sheyesham Pesach, o bizman shelo yesham Pesach. So whether or not the Korban Pesach is currently in practice or not, still the mitzvah of matzvah is an independent biblical mitzvah, as opposed to maror, which is only a biblical mitzvah when it goes along with the Korban Pesach. But matzah nowadays is a mitzvah d'oraisa still, exactly the same way it was in the times of the temple when the paschal offering was offered. Mishor she mitzvah zo, ma shekosu b'korban Pesach. So the reasoning of this mitzvah is, again, as we're saying, and by Korban Pesach, to remember all the miracles that God did for us when we went out of Egypt, and to remember how our national identity emerged, and all the good things that Pesach does for us. Dinei ha-mitzvah. What are the halachos of the mitzvah matzah? Kigon, shimur hatzorich la-matzos. So matzah, the pasuk says, ushmartem es ha-matzos, that you have to keep the matzah. So what exactly does that mean? The Gemara has a machlokas as to whether it's sufficient. Let's say you just buy flour from the marketplace, and that if it's flour, cannot really become chametz, is it, because it hasn't been exposed to water. As a side note, nowadays, pretty much all flour, the grain to make flour is soaked in water. It makes it easier to grind, apparently. So nowadays, it could be that our flour is really chametz, and we cannot use it, certainly cannot use it to bake matzah. But let's say you have flour that you know it has not been subject to contact with water, and you just go to the store and you buy flour without a heksher or anything, so the only time when it could really become chametz, it has a possibility of becoming chametz is when you add water. So according to one opinion, that it says that if the whole point of watching the matzos only starts when you start kneading the dough, because that's the point at which it could potentially become chametz. So you have to make sure while you're kneading and baking that it does not become chametz. Another opinion in the Gemara is that you need an additional stage before the kneading to watch the matzah. So the question is, the Gemara says that Rava, one of the Amoraim, the sages of the Talmud, used to go so far as to tell the people who are harvesting the wheat in the fields, when you pile up the matzah and the grain that you're going to use to bake matzah, do it l'shem matzah. So that's a good question. So the question is, does it have to be, do you have to do it for the purpose of baking the actual matzah that you use to fulfill the mitzvah on the first night of Pesach? Or does it just have to be shimur watching it l'shem matzah? In other words, that it shouldn't become chametz. So first of all, we have to address whether we paskin like Rava. So the Rambam says that we do paskin like Rava, basically, that unless it's shased chak, it's absolute, at least l'chatchila, one has to watch all the grain that one consumes on Pesach from the time of harvesting, what we call in our language Shmura Mish'as Kitzira. They call Shmura Matzah, means that the grain was watched from the time of harvesting. So he holds that the that the lishma, that doing, dealing with the grain for the purposes of matzah, is only that it should, you have to watch to prevent it from becoming chametz. Other Rishonim say that we don't really paskin like Rava. Really, you only need shimur mishas lisha. That really, and then if you, the kneading stage, you, some Rishonim say that at the kneading stage you need to have a specific intention. Some Rishonim say at the kneading stage you need to have specific intention that this dough is going to be used for the purpose of the matzah with which you fulfill your obligation on the first night of Pesach, or the second night, of course, for us who celebrate 2 days of Yontif. So the Ashkenazi Rishonim come up with a compromise that they say that one is yotze, one fulfills the idea of watching the grain before the kneading stage, already from the time when the grain is ground, what we would call shmura mishas tchina, when you grind the grain, because that's the first time that it comes anywhere near the water. So they say that for the first the matzah for the first night, you need to have it extra watched from the time of tchina, from the time of grinding, and then the lisha stage, the kneading stage, you have intention that this specific dough is going to be used for the matzah of the first night. But before that, everybody agrees that you don't need specific intent that this is going to be used for the matzah to fulfill the mitzvah. You just have intent that it shouldn't become chametz. So that would apply, according to the Rambam, that applies to all the grain that you're going to eat during Pesach, for all the matzahs, all 7 days of Pesach. But so certainly it would not apply to the specific intent that this is going to be used for the matzah used to fulfill the mitzvah. So it's a huge chumrah that some people already at the stage of grinding, or the stage of when they winnow the wheat, or you know, all these, that you have to say all l'shem matzah's mitzvah, that you have to do it, say orally that you're doing it for the sake of the matzah that you're going to eat to fulfill the mitzvah. It's really not correct. Many people point this out, that according to the opinion that you need specific, for the matzah you're going to eat the first night, you need specific intent that this grain is going to go for the matzah that you used to fill your mitzvah. That only starts from the kneading. All the other stages before, you just have to make sure that it doesn't come into, you have to watch it so it doesn't come into contact with water and become chametz. Yeah.
There's a new chumrah that seems to come about in the front page of the Times, where some people are growing wheat in Arizona,
mm-hmm.
rain.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any historical or halachic basis for this chumrah, you know?
There is a basis that if you leave the wheat too long on the, when it's attached to the ground and it doesn't really, it's not really growing anymore, it's just sitting around, then it could potentially become chametz. But we're not really concerned for that. We always harvest it in time. It's a chumrah. It's good. It's nice, but it's not required, certainly. People get it into their heads that they have to, once they adopt a certain chumrah, it has to be bedafka that way. They have to keep in mind that it's a chumrah. What? But if you eat chametz on Pesach, it's nisargaris, but it's not. Anyway. So it says in the Maaseh Rav, the book describing the practices of the Vilna Gaon, that he would only eat, for all Pesach, matzah that was watched mishas kitzira, from the time of harvesting. So people point out from this that he held like the Rambam, that for all the, he paskin like Rava in the Gemara, that all the matzah, that it's not a specific intent for the matzah of the first night, but it's rather just ideally one must eat only for all Pesach. You have to watch to make sure it doesn't become chametz already from the time of harvesting. So this is very difficult, because in the Bir Hagro on Shulchan Aruch, the Vilna Gaon's commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, he sounds like he does not paskin like that opinion. So the answer is found that in the Maaseh Rav itself, he explains that in Vilna, it was extremely rainy, and he was afraid that there was some in the fields or whatever during Pesach season, that there would be some water coming on, and that's why he was nervous and he didn't eat any. All Pesach he ate only matzah that was watched from the time of harvesting. So people nowadays, I pointed out, I wrote this, that nowadays it doesn't really make sense to be makbid. Now the grain is grown either in controlled climates such as in Arizona, the other grain for matzah is grown in Eretz Yisrael. They don't grow so much grain there apparently, but grain for matzah apparently is. So there it does not rain around Pesach time. So if you can go back, the Vilna Gaon lived in Vilna, where it was rainy all the time. But in Eretz Yisrael, that's where the Tanaim and Amoraim lived. And according to the vast majority of opinions, you do not need to eat shmura mishas kitzira. You don't need to eat only shmura matzah for the entire Pesach. For the first night, for the matzah's mitzvah, so we try to be as machmir as possible. And the minag has become, even though the Ashkenazi psak really is that even for the matzahs of the first night, it's sufficient shmura mishas tchina from the time of grinding. Still, we try to be machmir for the matzahs of the first night and have shmura mishas ketzira, but you don't really need that. Mikra din, it's perfectly fine to buy the regular matzah, which anyway, nowadays, all the regular, there's no such thing as matzah that's not shmura, because all the regular matzah nowadays is shmura mishas tchina. It's washed from the time of grinding. There's no such thing as just getting flour that you assume has not had water touching it and to bake matzahs out of it. So all the regular matzah you buy in the store is at least shmura mishas tchina, which, according to the basic Ashkenazi psak, is sufficient even for the matzah of the first night. So for the rest of Pesach, okay, again, if you're not worried about the extra cost, then you like chumris and it's nice, you want to buy shmura mishas ketzira for the whole Pesach, nice chumra, but you don't. It's not required. Don't. Uve'inyan lishasan. How do you bake matzah? Basically, you have to basically knead it in small batches. It's supposed to be less than a shir challah per batch for the amount of dough that you would separate challah for. It's supposed to be less than that. And you're supposed to knead it. It says that a woman who's baking matzah, nowadays the women don't bake matzah at home anymore, but in times of the Gemara they did. So she's supposed to have a bowl of water that she's kneading in and a bowl of water that she sticks her hands into to cool them down so it doesn't heat up the matzah. Also, the matzah dough. Also, you're supposed to basically do it as fast as possible so it shouldn't become chametz. You knead the dough as fast as possible and get it to the oven immediately. There is the Gemara says that you only have to be worried about it turning into chametz if it sits for a mil, the shear of time that it takes to walk a mil, which is approximately 18 minutes. Some have a bigger shear, but we assume it's around 18 minutes. And there's a big chumrah that people suggest based on the Tshuvas HaRosh, one of the responsa of the Rosh, that this shear only applies when you just leave it sitting around doing nothing. But if you've kneaded it already and the dough gets hot, it gets warmer from your hands and from the kneading action, then even if you let it sitting around without any kneading, the Gemara says that as long as you're continuously kneading it, it won't become chametz even more, even in a greater, larger period of time than 18 minutes. But people suggest the chumra from the Tshuvas HaRosh that once you've gotten the dough hot and you've been kneading it for a while, then even a tiny, minute amount of time will cause it, of letting it lie around, will cause it to become chametz. Most Rishonim are explicitly against this. They assume that that the 18-minute shear applies even if you already got it hot. It said that the Ramban used to knead his matzah dough at home, then take it around the block to the bakery, so obviously he didn't hold from this. So you have brisker groups who go and bake matzah. They're crazy. They'll bake they see that somebody stopped kneading it for 1 second, they throw it on the ground, they get rid of it. Makes things much more expensive. That's why some people suggest, actually, one of the reasons that some people say that machine matzah is better than hand matzah. Because when the machines, there really is no assuming that the action of the machine is sufficient to constitute kneading to prevent it from becoming chametz, there really is no minute period of time that the dough is left without being worked. But when you're baking hand matzah, we try the best we can not to let it sit around. But if some people get really nuts about it. The difference between hand matzah and machine matzah, of course, is not for most of the days of Pesach, but the only difference between hand matzah and machine matzah is for the lishma aspect. That if you hold that not that the whole issue of lishma for baking matzah is not the just preventing it from becoming chametz, but rather you have to actively do it for the sake of the matzahs of the first night. So there is some discussion as to whether a machine is sufficient for that. That's a whole issue that comes into play by tzitzis also, because tzitzis have to be made lishma. So can you spin the tzitzis by machine? In any case, the prevalent practice is to have hand matzah for the first two nights, because we want to have as mehudar as possible a real lishma, that you're actually with your own hands, you're making the matzah for the sake of the eating the matzah the first two nights. But for the rest of the Pesach, most people accept machine matzah. Like I said, it's the same thing as mitzitza b'peh. Certain groups that insist on doing things exactly the way they were done in previous generations, they don't accept the whole idea of machine matzah. Who knows, it might be chametz, whatever, but most people accept machine matzah. Yeah.
At this point, today's machines,
yeah.
I gather they may have been different when they first were invented 100 yeah. years ago, but with today's machines, from a straight kosher standpoint,
yeah.
Is it a better way of making matzah than hand matzah?
From a straight kosher perspective, is machine matzah better than hand matzah? The main issue with machine matzah is that there's so many little parts, from what I understand, it's impossible to clean out completely thoroughly. Even if you dismantle the machinery every 18 minutes, still it's and you try to clean it as best you can, there it's impossible to clean it completely thoroughly. That's, from my understanding, that's the biggest issue with machine matzah nowadays. So hand matzah, you can clean all the machinery much more thoroughly, but it's more subject to human error. So it basically depends on what group you are. If you're a chassid or a brisker, you want to do things exactly the way they were done in Europe, so they eat hand matzah the entire Pesach. They don't accept machine matzah at all. Whereas you have groups like Breuers, where they're real yuckers. Now they're getting a little bit more lax about this issue, but real yuckers eat machine matzah for the starim. Machine shmur matzah, yeah. They eat for the starim. So it depends on your group. My personal, this is what I follow also, as far as I know, the prevalent practice, also followed by, many people, but just to name one, Rabbi Willig, is to have hand matzah, because of the lishmo issue, to have hand matzah for the starim, but for the rest of Pesach, machine matzah is perfectly acceptable. The only thing is that I prefer... The issue is, if the machine's running all the time is considered sufficient to create kneading, which prevents the dough from becoming chametz, then many factories do not clean it. They run the machinery the whole day. They make new dough and they keep putting it into the machines, and they keep it running the whole. They keep it running the whole day. So they don't but there is machine matzah, and they assume that any little bits of matzah that accumulate throughout of the dough that may have become chametz. I'm not even sure they became chametz, but if they were sitting around for 18 minutes, it's possible they became chametz. The Gemara does give signs to determine if a dough became chametz or not, but we're not really expert in those signs anymore. So we assume anything that's sat for 18 minutes, you would throw out. So even if a little bits of dough sat around and they got mixed into the matzah dough, they'll become batel. We know that before Pesach, although on Pesach, even a minute amount of chametz is a problem if it gets mixed in. Still, before Pesach, if a minute amount of chametz gets mixed in, It's not a problem on Pesach. So, strictly speaking, the regular matzah is, there seems to be what to rely on, but based on my Rebbeim, I have a strong preference for matzah that where they stop to clean the machinery as best as they could every 18 minutes, which is what's called, it says on the package, 18-minute matzah, normally. So certain hechsherim will only give a hechsher to 18-minute matzah, including broyers and including the Eidah Haredes in Yerushalayim. Do I put matzah in my chicken soup on the first Seder night? Of course. It might be chametz, it might start rising. Well, unfortunately, the rabbinic literature is against you. And if something is something has been baked already, if a grain has been baked already, whether in matzah form or otherwise, or it's just been roasted in the oven, it no longer becomes chametz afterwards. What you're referring to is a chumrah called gebrukts, which is the chumrah that maybe there's some little bits of dough that hasn't been baked thoroughly left in the matzah, and if you expose it to liquid, it might rise. That's a practice that was accepted by basically Hasidic circles, and I've heard people say, from coming from that Hasidic circles, oh, I accepted it as a chumrah. What do you mean as a chumrah? It's a Hasidic thing. None of the rabbis in non-Hasidic circles felt that it was necessary at all to be makbid on this. Yeah. Right, on the last day, people who keep gebrucks stop keeping it. So that's also a question, how that minug developed.
Show it's a minug.
So, to show it's a minug. Okay, but if you really think it's a question as to that it might be real chametz, and difficult. Okay, a minag is a minag. You can accept a minag however you want. What?
You know, we don't make any differentiation except for maybe four between 7th and 8th days of the
Yom. Right, for chametz purposes, there's no, right. We don't, with Armin Hagim, for kidneyasin, for example, that we had Ashkenazim have the chumrah not to eat legumes or certain other things or rice on Pesach because different reasons given for it, but Ashkenazim and some Sephardic groups for certain things have accepted the minag not to eat kidneys on Pesach, even though it's strictly speaking it's not one of the five species of grain that can become real chametz, but we don't eat it on Pesach, although we're allowed to keep it. We can still keep it in our house, we just don't eat it. So, but that minag we accept for all 8 days. We don't stop. We don't eat kidneys on the 8th day. So I jokingly always say on the 7th day of Pesach, if we serve soup like on the afternoon of the 7th day of Pesach, so hurry, we have to put matzah in the soup because tomorrow it's not a mitzvah anymore to show that it's not a problem. So we have to get in the mitzvah. Anyway, that's the misnagdisha, very misnagdisha humor. So. Uve'eze mayim niloshos. With what type of water may they be kneaded? We're worried that a certain type of water that's been out during the day is too warm and may cause the dough to become chametz. So therefore, we draw the water during twilight, a little before twilight, on the night before you want to bake matzah. You allow the water to rest during the night, and that's called mayim shelonu, water that spent the night. Of course, mayim shelonu has a homophone. Shelonu is a that Shelanu also, of course, means ours. So even in the Gemara, it quotes a case where there's an Amora who was giving a lecture in Hilchos Pesach, and he said, you have to use Mayim Shelanu, Mayim, to bake the matzah. So he said the next day, all the people came to his house with buckets, and they said, give us water, we need to make matzah. So he says, no, I didn't mean our water, my water, I meant water that spent the night. So people have suggested that nowadays that we have refrigerators, you just put the water in the refrigerator until it gets cold, and that's sufficient to be considered mayim shalanu, still with issues of matzah and chametz, because it's an isser kares, if you eat chametz on Pesach. So we try to stick to the original practice, and we don't like changing things around. So machine matzah itself was a chiddush, okay, seder, but that's already it's already widely accepted. The question someone just asked, if we could use tap water to bake matzah, has to be specifically well water. So for hand matzah, they normally use well water.
Why?
It's considered purer. The tap water, they have all these added chemicals to it. For machine matzah, I believe they just normally use tap water. There are special runs of machine matzah that they advertise very loudly on the package that they use well water to bake the machine matzah, and that's considered a chumrah. But regular machine matzah is normally tap water. We assume the additives are insignificant and they won't cause the dough to become chametz any faster. V'shiur achilason l'chol hapachos, and the minimum amount of matzah that you must eat. So, as we discussed the length a couple weeks ago, the shear for the minimum shear for eating matzah is a kezias, which is the size of an olive. And even though the basic strict halacha is that the kezias is indeed just that, the size of an olive, still, since it's a mitzvah d'oraisa, and out of deference to the Shulchan Aruch, who quotes the opinion that kezias is half the size of an egg, or the chaznish, if you want to have deference to the chaznish and eat the size of a whole egg, because he doubles the size of all the measurements. So that is that's appropriate, but not strictly required. Certainly, if you can't manage to eat, that's also, again, this is it's a minimum shear. The mitzvah to eat matzah the first night of Pesach is a mitzvah. According to the way we understand the Rambam, and seemingly it says l'chol ha-pachos, that this is a minimum. But if you want to eat more, that's even better. Again, don't make yourself sick. Don't drink too much wine. Don't eat too much matzah. That you make yourself sick. But if you want to eat a lot of matzah, that's great. That's considered an even bigger mitzvah. The Yeser Proteha, and the rest of the details for fulfilling this mitzvah, Mivu'arim Pesach Rishon, in the second and third chapters of the tractate Pesachim. V'noheges b'chol makom v'chol zman, in contradistinction to Maror, as I said, it's in any place and any time. Bizcharim unikevos, and men and women both are obligated to eat matzah on the first night of Pesach. Again, for Pesach-related issues, there's no difference between men and women. The over aleha bitel asay, if you violate this, then you have neglected to perform a positive commandment. Uchvar amarnu shebezdin kofin al bitel asay. We have already explained that the court forces people to perform positive commandments. If you say, oh, I don't feel like eating matzah, then you get, they'll beat you until you agree to do it.
Rabbi, want to discuss a little bit about matzah shira while we're on this topic?
Oh, sure. Thanks for reminding me. So there is, for the matzah of the first night of Pesach, we have to have what's called lechem oni. That the Torah describes matzah as a poor man's bread, affliction, bread of whatever. So the matzah the first night has to be basically just flour and water. It's a question of what additives exactly consider matzah ashira. Maybe eggs probably make it considered to be matzah ashira. Or if you need it in fruit juices, that's considered to be matzah ashira. So you don't fulfill your mitzvah the first night of Pesach with matzah ashira. The question is, the part of the reason is, though, that there's an issue in understanding the Gemara, but the Gemara says, Me peros eina machmitzim, that fruit juices, pure fruit juices, obviously with no added water, water makes it rise faster if it's combined with fruit juice, but if you have pure fruit juice, then if you then if you mix it with flour, it does not create chametz. So, as we said, the only thing that you fulfill your obligation of eating matzah with is something that can become chametz if you let it sitting out long enough. So all these things of matzah shira cannot create, these fruit juices and whatever cannot create chametz. So there is a difference of opinion amongst the Rishonim as to whether if you kneaded a dough with fruit juice, for example, that is completely permissible to eat on Pesach, obviously not for the first night, but whether you're allowed to eat it over Pesach, or whether it's just that you're not subject to the penalty of kares if you eat it, but really you're not allowed to eat it on Pesach. So Sfardim, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that you're allowed to eat it. That's why I once had before Pesach, they were already selling them, cookies under a Sephardi Hechsher in Israel, and they were made with just with regular flour, or matzah flour, whatever, flour, not matzah meal, and wine. And they were delicious. They tasted like normal cookies to be able to eat it on Pesach. Wow. But so Ashkenazim, however, do not accept this, and we assume that one is not allowed to eat matzah ashira on Pesach at all, unless you cannot chew, or otherwise, if you're very, very young children or very old people, they are allowed to eat matzah shira because they can't eat necessarily digest or consume regular matzah. So because for them it's a case of emergency or urgency, then they're allowed to eat matzah shira. But anyone for sure does not fulfill their obligation to eat matzah on the first night with matzah Ashira. So our matzah shira, if Erev Pesach is Shabbos, then there is a problem, there's a twofold problem with using matzah shira. According to the Shulchan Aruch, that what you're supposed to do. The Shulchan Aruch says you eat all three sudas on Erev Pesach Shechalios B'Shabbos with egg matzah, no problem. You can even have shalosh sudas at this proper time because matzah shira is not a problem on Erev Pesach, because it's not chametz, and it's not really matzah, so you're allowed to eat on Erev Pesach. However, the question is, according to the Shita of the Rambam and the Vilna Gaon, potentially for different reasons, but we can't get into that now, you're even not allowed to even eat matzah shira on Erev Pesach, so you're a little stuck. And according to the Ashkenazi minag that we treat matzah shira like some sort of form of chametz for healthy people, then the question is, can you eat it on Erev Pesach after the time where chametz becomes usur, after 2 hours before midday? So just like Hasidim don't accept the minag of Gebrachts on the eighth day of Pesach, so too some write. Some early sources write that Ashkenazim did not accept the chumrah against matzah, not eating matzah shira on Erev Pesach after midday, even though it's forbidden to eat chametz. Still, they only accepted the prohibition of eating matzah shira starting on the night, on Yontif at night. So therefore, even Ashkenazim could eat shalosh sudas, or the first sudah, or whatever, after the time when chametz becomes usur with matzah ashira. I think although the Rama writes that you shouldn't do this because he only simply says that we normally Ashkenazim don't eat matzah ashira, so we don't bake matzah ashira, so we're not going to bake two loaves of matzah ashira for shal shudas on Erev Pesach Shechalios B'Shabbos. So that's why we don't do that. But there are nowadays that there's tons of matzah shira around for Sfardim and for Ashkenazim who are elderly or infirm. Then Rabbi Schechter says this. Rabbi Schechter says that even Ashkenazim nowadays should have all three sudas on Erev Pesach Shechalios B'Shabbos with matzah ashira. But again, because I think that more correct is to follow the opinion of the Vilna Gaon and the Rambam, and one should not eat matzah in any form on Erev Pesach, then I think that on Erev Pesach Shechalos B'Shabbos, one should use chametz for, unless it's going to be a chumrah, what we call a chumrah da'asli de'kula, a chumrah that leads to a kula, which is that if you have little children running around and you can't control them, and you're afraid if you serve chametz for that meal, then they're going to run around the house with it, and then it's going to be a nightmare, then there's what to reconsider. But ordinarily, I feel that one should not do this, and it's since the sources, as I said, seem to indicate that really there is no shal shudas in Erev Pesach Shechalias with Shabbos, so one should eat the first two meals, the night meal of Shabbos, and then the first and then the morning meal with chametz, and then eat the shal shudas in the afternoon with just other foods besides bread. Although those certainly even Ashkenazim who want to eat all three meals with matzah shira makes life easier. You don't have real chametz lying around because we are allowed to keep matzah shira over Pesach. We're just not allowed to eat it, Ashkenazim. So since it makes life easier, those who wish to do that have on what to rely. But I personally would not ideally recommend that.